This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Machender, International Relations, looking at three points of view in Ukraine conflict, now looking more like European conflict and also looking like Eurasian conflict. But we'll stay with the original trio, Kyiv point of view. Professor, Kyiv asked for more weapons, bigger weapons, longer range weapons, more money, more of everything. The economy doesn't exist anymore, and it is a nation that is devastated, at least in the Donbass. The refugees have fled to Poland and other places in Europe. So what is Kyiv's point of view looking at this Madrid strategic concept document that identifies Russia as the enemy and China as the enemy?
Well, I think that Kyiv can take some comfort in this document, even as they regularly kick themselves for having agreed to the Budapest memorandum and given up their nuclear weapons. If Kyiv had had even 10 or 50 nuclear weapons, we wouldn't be having this war. But we forced them, and we gave them a lot of assurances to give it up. That said, this week has been one of transition for Kyiv. Essentially, what they're doing is burning up their old Soviet-style army in the conflict in Donbass and gradually receiving a new army from more than a dozen countries are involved in this. And I believe that eventually they are going to get what they need, although I think that it would be a good thing to get the stuff to them faster rather than more slowly. But one has to allow for training. And that once that happens, then the war will come back with vengeance. Because by that point, Kyiv is going to have superior weaponry to what Russia has. Although, never underestimate Russia. They may pull a rabbit out of the hat. What has happened this week? Good news for Kyiv is that Snake Island, this very, very strategic, tiny piece of rock off the coast of Romania, near the entry into the straits, going to the Sea of Marmara and then the Dardanelles, the Mediterranean, that is now in Ukrainian hands. And this is very, very good because it will enable them to continue their expansion of not of control, but of ability to contest Russian power in the Black Sea. The bad news has been continuing casualties and merciless missile strikes by the Russians, who don't have properly guided missiles. And I'm not sure, actually, that the Russians would be scrupulous about only hitting military targets. After all, in World War II, we had the so-called dehousing campaign. The reason for that was that we found our bombers couldn't hit the munitions factory, so we said, we'll just fly over the city, look down at the city, and just drop bombs wherever they are. And if the workers don't have houses, they'll be demoralized. But the Russians are using weapons, some of which are thought to have been outlawed under international law, essentially devastating and reducing to rubble cities that were once prosperous or at least functioning. The sort of joker here is, what does China do? You may have noted that finally, I think it was yesterday, our Congress has voted to stop funding the lab in Wuhan, where the virus came from, and we've voted that we're not going to give any more money to biological warfare enterprises in enemy countries. It's remarkable to me that this funding has gone on as long as it has, or in fact that it began at all. I mean, what complete idiocy! And when we do the investigation of how we helped to create COVID, a lot of people, their heads should roll, but I think what we're going to see is that their faces may be red if they have any shame. But the joker in the deck here is Chinese resupply. We have recently sanctioned several Chinese companies, and a Chinese company is very much under the thumb of the Chinese government, or is in fact part of the Chinese government. The Chinese know exactly what they're doing. And Mr. Xi is essentially very much in favor of Russia, and the Ukraine war, as presented in Chinese media, is one of ghastly aggression by the West against the good Russians. Whether this is selling in China, we have no way of knowing. But the Chinese could bail the Russians out of some of their problems of supply of weapons and supply of ammunition, even money, but if they were willing to risk the sorts of sanctions that the United States has placed on Russia, which have not been very effective, but they have had the effect of scaring the daylights out of China. So that so far, the Chinese have pretty much avoided helping the Russians.
Ukraine. The future for Ukraine is hard to see, but dim. The cities are destroyed. The country's cut off from the Donbass and Crimea. The sea lanes are contested by the Russian fleet, the Black Sea Fleet. And Moscow is adamant that it is intending to liberate the Russian speakers of Kyiv, of Ukraine, and that can continue indefinitely. So what is the future for Ukrainian people? Are they going to make best they can in Poland and Czech Republic and France, or are they going to plan on returning to a ruin?
Well, rebuilding the ruin will be a challenge, whoever wins. This is just appalling waste of human life, of resources, of all the rest. It's just all the things that war is. We don't talk about the four horsemen and so forth and the dogs of war without reason. Either the Russians are going to win or the Ukrainians are going to win. I think that is clear now. There's not going to be a negotiated settlement in which Ukraine is partitioned and divided up and then somehow browbeaten into accepting a peace that they don't want. And I think that's the meaning of the statement in the NATO strategic document that I can't quote it exactly, but that a strong, independent Ukraine is very much in the interest of NATO. I don't think we saw that at the beginning, but we're starting to see it now, because if Russia can beat Ukraine and with all the supplies and all the talk that we have brought to their assistance, then Russia is very, very dangerous. What the Ukrainians need to do is, as I've said before, they have to score a battle like the Battle of Saratoga in 1777, in which General Gates, who was an Englishman, defeated Gentleman Johnny Burgoyne, who was also an Englishman, who had come down from Canada, in two battles in the neighborhood of Saratoga, New York. And there he was found, Gentleman Johnny found himself surrounded by so many tens of thousands of Americans who just kept pouring in out of the woods to join what our actual army was, that he had no choice but to surrender. And that did not mean that England was defeated, but it meant that France came into the war and the nature of the war was transformed. A victory of that sort, say something like what happened at Stalingrad, when the German army was surrounded and the famous German general surrendered, that is what is needed. There's no possibility that Ukraine would defeat Russia, but Ukraine should be able to prevent herself from becoming controlled by Russia, and she should control her borders and control her territory. So it's up or down on that. I don't think there's a win-win situation. It's the Chinese talk about a you die, I live situation. They're very realistic. And that's what we're in now, and I think we're starting to understand that.
We turn to Brussels. Professor H.A. Mackinder, International Relations, commenting on the point of view of three capitals. Next, the Brussels capital is both NATO and the EU, and the conduct of this war in Ukraine is now entangled with the economy and the people of the EU because of the energy shortfall, which will get worse as the year gets colder. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.